Well, let's open our Bibles this evening, and let's go to John 3:16. Hallelujah. And let's read that together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I like to read this every now and then. I like to read this particular scripture in Psalm 119:130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." It giveth. What giveth? The word. The word of God giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Holman Christian Standard Translation says, "The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced." So it's not just reading the Word of God, but it's revelation. Who provides that revelation? It's the Spirit of God. He unfolds and reveals as we read. And the more time we spend in it, He'll unfold. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We don't have to bump along in life. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's our guide. He's the revealer of truth. Man, I'll tell you, that's exciting. So we can be successful, we can be victorious in life if we just follow Him. Hallelujah. And I like, this is the Young's literal translation. It says, "The opening of thy words enlighteneth." Oh, I like that. He opens the Word of God to us. You know, we've all been there. We go, "Wow, look at that." And we see something we hadn't seen before. That's revelation. That's something that you hadn't seen before. Isn't that true? Praise God. Let's jump over. I said almost said run over, but that's the same thing. We run over. Run over to Mark 11:22 and 23. And we're going to continue in these lessons on speaking to your mountain. And you know what we said, you live long enough, you're going to face a few mountains in your life and of various sizes and heights. It just depends on what you do when you face it. And I think that it's a wonderful thing that God has already shown us in the Word of God through His Son. He was God in the earth, but what was He? He was operating as a man, but He was revealing God's will in the earth. Isn't that wonderful? So we don't have to question if Jesus said it, it was from the heart of God. And so here's what He did. He told us how we can be victorious about in operating in what? The God kind of faith. And so here, Jesus, in verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God." Or my margin says, "have the faith of God," or you could say the God kind of faith. Some of them say it'll say the faith of God, or it'll say the God kind of faith, and there's a few others. It'll say the faith that God gives. That's another translation. Another translation says in the Centenary Translation says, "take hold on God's faithfulness." And then He begins. He's showing us here, this is the God kind of faith. So if you ever wanted to know what it is, here it is right here. And in red letters. And it says here, "For verily I say unto you," or "truly I say unto you, that whosoever..." Well, I like that. I tell you, that excites me every time I read it. Whosoever, that's me. That's not defining who can or who can't. He just said whosoever. That means you could come from the highest levels of society to the lowest. And it says, whosoever, rich or poor, doesn't matter. You could come and it says, whosoever. And what's interesting to me is that we have people in the world, of course you know this, people in the world that don't even know God are operating the principles of God, speaking to things and believing it, and things are coming to pass. I would say that's a whosoever, isn't it? That's whosoever. He didn't say you didn't have to be a Christian. He said whosoever. Now, I think it'd be good if you were, but people are operating the principles and God's honoring it. So here it says, whosoever shall what? Say unto what? This mountain. So here we go. We're talking about mountains. So what did we say? If you face a mountain, one thing you don't want to do is face it with your mouth closed. This says say. So that doesn't mean be quiet. That says you're talking to the mountain. That's what we're talking about, speaking to the mountain. So it says, say unto this mountain, say what? Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and, so you're supposed to say, and do what? Not doubt. So there's a key right there. You know, sometimes we read over it, we need to meditate on that. Just saying it doesn't mean the mountains are going to move, doesn't it? Because there's an and in there. It says, and not doubt. So a lot of people are saying, but there may be doubt. So what? Guess what? The mountain doesn't move. Isn't that true? And shall not doubt in his what? Heart. Doesn't say doubt in your head. See, isn't this a wonderful thing? Spirit of God is just as clear. God is as clear as he can be. So you could have doubt in your head. I've done it. I know you have. You're talking to a mountain, and the whole time you're doing it, your mind's going, this is dumb. This is dumb. You'll never get this. You'll never have this. You'll never own it. You'll never be it. And your mind is telling you that the whole time, but your heart has locked on and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. I'm going to be this. I'm going to go here. But your mind is saying, nope. What does this say? Does it say doubt in your heart or doubt in your head? Doubt in your heart. So there's a difference, isn't there? It says here, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things that you say. So that's the key right there, that you don't doubt, you say to the mountain, you say, you believe in your heart, you don't doubt, but believe that the things that you say. Here's another thing. Let's just stop here and just meditate on this a bit here. He didn't say, believe what you think, although that's part of it. You have to believe what you're thinking, because as a man thinketh, so is he. But you got to say something. See, somebody could say, I'm thinking this mountain away. No, he didn't say that. He said, you got to speak to it. So you see what I mean? Some people can just try to think something away and they get a headache. They trying to think a problem away and they're stuck in a ditch. You see what I mean? And people do it. You laugh, but people do it all the time. They just, if I just think hard enough, it'll just maybe go away. It'll fix itself. No, it won't. You've got to speak to it. If there's a problem, he said here, if there's a mountain, if there's a problem, you think hard enough on it, it's not going anywhere. You got to speak to it. Right? So you shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Not thinketh, saith. Now, it was interesting, this morning, Pastor Judy was sharing some things about speaking at Hour of Prayer, or Hour of Power. And, you know, every time that, and I think it's a wonderful thing, every time I hear something about confession or speaking, God begins to kind of reveal a little more and more to me personally. I know he does to you also. But you know, every time you hear something, you get greater insight into something. You see more. And this morning, I said, oh boy, I see something a little clearer. I've known it, but you know, you can see something and know something, but know it in a greater way. I'll give you an example. How many married people are here? The ones that want to admit it. How many? Okay, some of you are, and some of you want to be, whatever you want to be, okay? Whatever you are. But the point is that when you got married, you said, I love you, and we exchanged vows, right? So there was a depth of love at that point. But as you grew in that relationship, did that love increase? Was there a greater understanding of love towards that person? Absolutely. So we can start here and we can grow in something and it can be a greater depth of understanding in something. And that's how the Word of God is. And so you can see in a greater way in something. It has a greater meaning to you. Greater understanding. That's what we just got done saying, where the entrance of His Word bringeth light and it giveth understanding. So you have a greater understanding of something because there's greater revelation. Isn't that true? So you understand here, don't ever think you got it, because God will just show you, and you go, phew, boy, I understand that more. So this morning, I'm listening and I said, I've understood this. You can say, and this is what we're saying, this is what the Scripture is saying here. We say unto a mountain. A lot of individuals, and I will say I learned this. You know how we say we learned this? I don't want to say the hard way, because that's the wrong thing to say. But I learned it through experience, because I didn't understand. I had a physical challenge in my body. And I was in pain for a year. Just excruciating pain. I had had manifestations of healing in my body before, so it wasn't that I hadn't exercised this. I had supernatural experiences. So when this came, I stood and exercised what I knew. And 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by, 4 months went by, and I'm in excruciating pain. But I stood and kept saying the word. And after a year, I said, well, I'm going to stand. Keep standing. But I'm in pain. And you know, sometimes the body, when it's in pain, you can really, you know, you start to really feel it. And sometimes your mind will begin to say, you know, things. So after a year, I began to just sense something's not right. I'm missing something here, because I've experienced results quicker than this. And if you're in pain, you're looking for some results. And so, as I got quiet and I was in the shower, the Holy Ghost said, you've heard me say this, He said, you won't see the end of this year if you don't get your stomach checked by a doctor. And of course, I'm stopped and I said, that's exactly what I did. I went, I knew that was the Holy Ghost. But I hemmed and hawed for another 2 weeks. Because I had my feet dug in, confessing the Word of God. And finally I said, you dummy, go to the doctor. So I did, and you know, the long and short was that I ended up seeing a doctor, and then I just said, this doesn't feel right. So I ended up seeing a nutritionist. And in about 2 weeks from a change of diet, I'm telling you, my stomach was just, it was a mess. Diet, bad things. And in roughly 2 weeks, the heat and the fire and the pain started to subside. And when I went to see this man, this I'm talking about words, the doctor said, he didn't even inspect me. You know, I'm inspector or examine. He said, this doesn't look good. And I said, you're an idiot. I did. I said to myself, this is an idiot. He didn't even examine me. And you're an expert. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I did. I left. And my spirit wasn't, it didn't feel right. But when I walked into this nutritionist's office, he said to me, as much pain as I was, he said, I'll have you turned around in 5 days. And my face dropped because he said, this is what he said. He said, boy. And I said, he called me boy. He said, boy, you know how long I've been doing this? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, 60 some years. And he said, I've treated thousands of patients like this. And he said, you just trust me, I'll have you turned around. And I was like, words, words. And it was positive. And my spirit leaped. And I followed his advice. And in 5 days, the fire started to go down. 10 days, it was going down. In 6 months, it was completely turned around. So what am I saying all that for? Because we can override the direction of the Holy Ghost with our confession, with our words. People have done it. They get a leading, don't go over here, and they're quoting Psalm 91. I'm protected, and get beat up because they went somewhere that God told them not to go. We read it in the book of Acts. They said, don't go to this town or this city. They could have got killed and beat up. And so a lot of times we're dug in making confessions with our words, and the Holy Ghost will give us direction, like this morning. And what really made it clear for me was that when we were making a confession this morning about the Spirit of God is working in me and my body is functioning normally, and my cells function normally, and my blood veins function normally, and every organ functions normally, that's good. And we should do that. And trust me, I say it. But the Holy Ghost, see, when we speak God's word and we put it in here, what did we say? The entrance of God's word bringeth light, or we could say the entrance of God's word bringeth truth, and it reveals. It shows up stuff. And so we can make that confession, and I said we should, but those words, God's words, work to bring that to pass. It's you're putting something in motion to make something happen. What is that? My body operates normally. It functions normally. Now let me ask this question. We call those things that be not as though they were. So if I'm saying something that be not, those words are going to work to make that come to pass. And the Holy Ghost in us is going to reveal how that should come to pass. He's going to guide us. It's not just your words. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. What do I mean by that? Get a checkup. Lose weight. Oh. Exercise. Do something. You understand my point? I'm not trying to isolate one thing or even health. It could be finances. I'm just pointing out that we make are confessions of the promises of God. And the Holy Ghost will lead. He is going to work at bringing those things to pass in your life. And He's going to do what? Guide you. So that those things will come to pass. But you could say, I ain't doing that. Nope. I want another piece of pie. I'm not doing that. I'm fine just the way I am. I don't want to exercise. And you begin to ignore the promptings, the witnesses, the leadings of the Holy Ghost who's trying to cause those things to come to pass in your life, and we ignore them. Isn't that true? I've done it. You heard me talk about the apple story. I confessed my bank account was full. I'm wealthy. And I'm saying it and saying it and saying it. And He tells me to invest in something. And I didn't. So He's trying to get money to me. And I had money to invest, but I ignored it. And so we can miss the prompts, the leadings to do something. It doesn't have to be health. It could be, I'm wealthy. And He may tell you, quit your job and go over here. Oh, I ain't doing that. And you don't know that in that place is the place where you may be elevated to the place of getting that more money to put you in that wealthy place. See, you understand where I'm coming? So we're talking about speaking to a mountain. We speak to the mountain, just like I was speaking to the mountain where my health was concerned, because that was a mountain. And I missed prompts, because I go back and the Lord is reminding me, remember I told you to stop doing this and this and this? That contributed to that. See, so I missed the prompts to make adjustments in my diet, and I didn't. I kept doing what I was doing. Because we want to. Because it tastes good. I like that. And then you end up in a problem. And meanwhile, we've been making faith confessions. But the Holy Ghost has been sent as our comforter and our guide. And those things can't come to pass a lot of times because we're just missing the signals. You understand what I mean? Does any of this make sense tonight to anybody? So, speaking to your mountain, all of that is absolutely what we should do. Not doubt in our heart. Speak and believe that the things that we say shall come to pass. They're going to come to pass. If we keep doing that, and we have to also follow the Holy Ghost. Follow His leading. Because He's trying to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. I hope that makes some sense. Because I've lived through it. And I'll tell you the truth, I didn't understand it at first. Even where, for me, this was on the health side, I didn't understand why confession and working at my speaking appeared not to work. But when I read Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, he had a chapter in that book called 21 Reasons Why People Don't Receive Their Healing. And number 5, go read it for yourself. Number 5 said, violating the laws of nature. And he said, the laws of nature are God's laws. And when you violate them, he said, you can't override that with Scripture. they're God's laws. So you can't override His natural laws with your confession. So when you violate natural laws, you're violating something that He instituted. And sometimes we get into hot water because of that. We're making these confessions and eating another pork chop. Or eating too much of this. Or you understand my point? And we're out of balance. And it's the same thing with money. You know, we have money, God's sending the resources, but we're squandering it, we're spending it, we're doing things and not getting God's guidance as to how to use the money, where to sow it. So it's important that we do that. Hallelujah. Now, Sunday, you know, we talked about, Joshua, we were talking about Caleb. And just those three points, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That was key. He followed His directions, and he didn't deviate. And you can read for yourself in Joshua chapter 14. And also Caleb spoke the God kind of faith. He had another spirit, it said in Numbers 14. He had another spirit within him. And he followed, and it says he followed me fully, or the same thing, he followed the Lord fully. And your obedience can affect future generations. We can see that the disobedience of the Israelites affected some things. Affected them. They had to wander through the wilderness and die off. God said they're not going to inhabit it. So our disobedience or our obedience can affect our offspring, can affect our families, affect our generations. Depending on our obedience or disobedience. And Caleb, you know, again, as I pointed out, he never compromised. He never compromised the Word of God. And he also submitted to godly leadership. He submitted to Joshua. And so we can see that in Numbers 13 and 14, talks about Caleb and his obedience. Now, one thing I wanted to do tonight is just touch base a little bit on another facet of speaking to the mountain, is talking about faith and taking possession. Just if we would, just take a moment and let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God." And I really like the Message translation. It says, "Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus." I tell you, that makes it pretty plain. In Him, this is what we preach and pray, the great amen, God's yes, and our yes. See, God has said yes in Christ. We have to say yes. We have to agree with it. And it says, together, gloriously evident. The New International says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And let's take a look. I wanted to just touch on this a moment. Let's look at Mark chapter 5 for a moment. We know this scripture here. This is talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And let's look at verse 22, starting in 22, Mark 5. I'll start at verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Isn't that something? You just come and lay hands on her and she'll live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, she heard of Jesus. Heard what? Heard what his will was. Heard what he would do. Heard what he did. Came in the press behind and touched his garment. So in that time frame, a woman with an issue of blood, two things, they really, even today, you go over in those countries, well, not so much in Israel, but in the Muslim countries, women who are single are not allowed to go out in public by themselves. They have to go out with either their father or a relative, and the woman is not allowed to leave the house without the husband and has to walk behind them. You know, you've seen Corey and Natalie that have come here over in northern Afghanistan. When she leaves the house, she walks behind Corey. That's what she does. Because that is the custom. And you, if you don't, you're going to stir up something. Stir up the devil. So anyways, and on top of that, she had an issue of blood. And so in that time, that era, she was unclean. So for her to even be out in public, it was a death sentence for her. She could have been stoned to death. So you know, when she heard something, that's faith for her to go and get what she knew Jesus would do. For she said, isn't that interesting? For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So she heard what Jesus said. She believed, and then she said. And then she did something. See, this is the other thing that we need to look at tonight. Faith possesses what God promises. And so here we can see, not only did she hear something and faith came, and she started to say something, but she did something. She started to move in that direction. And so here, if you read this in verse 28, it says, For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If you read it in the Amplified translation, it says, For she kept saying. I like that, because that really kind of hooks up with Mark 11, 23, where it says, Whosoever shall say, unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that they say, or he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So it's like you're saying, and you're saying, and you're saying, and the Lord highlighted, we've heard this revelation by Brother Hagen, the Lord said, did you notice that there's three times the word say and one time believe. So we can see here in the Amplified translation of this verse, Mark 5:28, for she kept saying. She kept saying. She just didn't say it once. She kept saying. Saying what? If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Well, that's give us some insight today. We just don't stop. We keep saying what it is that what? We believe. And we believe that the things that we say will come to pass. Now I'm going to say this. You keep doing that, and when the Holy Ghost does what? Reveals and guides you, then you make a change, you alter. If he says, go over here, do this, then that's what you do. Doesn't mean that you stop saying, you keep saying. Saying what God has promised. But if he reveals something to move you in a particular direction, to do something, you do that. And still keep saying. You still keep saying. See, that's the key. You say, you keep saying. And what does it say? After that it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, I was showing something, Pastor Greg, today. You know, how many have looked up, because I thought, you know how sometimes we are, we think we know what it means till we look it up and we say, how many know what the word failure means? I thought I knew. Well, since there's nobody responding, let me help you out. You're like me. Brother Hagin said, looking like a dog at a new pan or something, whatever it is. You're just sitting there going, okay, we'll help you. This is from the dictionary. Failure is the omission of occurrence or performance. It means the failing to perform a duty or expected action. So I failed to pay you. There was a failure of what? A duty or expected action. It's also, it means the state of inability to perform a normal function. So you had kidney failure. But let me ask a question, because this was good insight to me. Does failure to do something, or the failure of you to make a confession consistently, does that make you a failure? No. And so sometimes, because we may fail to do something, don't think you are a failure. You are God's child, so just continue, pick it up. See, sometimes the devil say, it ain't going to work because you ain't doing pop, pop, pop. You know how we do. And you think you have failed. You haven't failed. You just haven't continued to say. And you continue to say, because you are not a failure, you've just failed to continue to say. That does not make it a failure. And it does not make you a failure, and it doesn't mean you have failed. It just means you haven't continued in an operation. See, that's what it says here. It says the inability to perform a function. What was that function? She kept saying. She kept saying. Now, if you quit, see, if you quit saying, that makes you a failure. Quitting to do something will make you a failure. But just not doing something, if you quit and you stop, then you fail. I believe Pastor Sarah had a saying. Would the Holy Ghost give her something? It was something that she shared. I'll think of it in a minute. Holy Ghost gave her another way of saying that. You may remember. And help me out. But you understand my point. We need to keep saying and not stop. Keep saying what God has promised, and we will obtain the promises of God. But if you quit, then you will fail to receive the promises of God. Does that make sense? See, sometimes we quit or we stop. Just pick it up. Or if you're not consistent, pick it up. Just keep saying. If you just let it go and start saying, this ain't working, that makes it a failure. And what does that mean? We fail to receive. If she had stopped saying, if she had stopped or not kept saying, she would have failed to receive, wouldn't it? Wouldn't she? Because the Scripture says, she kept saying, and what did Jesus say in verse 34? And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So her faith kept saying. And that's why when it says the just shall live by faith, or we are to walk by faith and not by sight, faith believes and keeps saying. Isn't that what it says? Let's turn over to, just for a moment here, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. We'll end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith. This is saying it another way, but it's talking about faith. Having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and then therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and then therefore speak. But we keep speaking. We keep speaking what it is that we believe. And we keep saying. And we're not failures because we stop. If you just quit altogether, that can make you a failure. Failure at what? Failing to receive the promises of God. That's really what this is about. Faith possesses God's promises. And faith possesses by what? Believing and keep saying. Or speaking. And we have to keep speaking the promises of God. We keep saying it. Faith comes by hearing. And we understand that. And hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. I didn't hear you. Okay. Okay, so... What is it?
If we will choose today, God decided yesterday, we will walk His benefits tomorrow?
No.
That's not the one?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it was a good try. It's a good try. But that wasn't it. No, nope. When I hear it, I'll know it. But praise God. Does any of this kind of ring a note or... Okay, somebody else? This is... Nope, that's not it either. Okay, I think I'll just leave that alone because this will be, everybody will have something. Nope. I think, what I may do is I may just, as they say, go right to the horse's mouth. You know what I mean? Go right to the person that said it and say, do you remember? Da, 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 and I'll say, instead of, you know what I mean, right? Get it all squared away. But the Lord is just put that in my heart. It kind of really rose up this morning in me when Pastor Judy was sharing, and I said, yeah, we need to keep saying because we'll receive by faith, but we have to keep saying regardless of the mountain. Don't face your mountain with your mouth closed. You keep saying what you believe. Don't doubt that the mountain won't move. The mountain will move if you say what you believe and don't doubt in your heart. But in that saying, God may, He may direct you a certain way. He may direct you over here. Think about it. What did Jesus say to the, what did He say to, who were the fishermen? Cast your nets in the water. Peter and who else? Well, yeah. I don't remember offhand at the moment. But the point was, they had fished all night. They didn't get any fish. And He said, cast your nets in the water. Now, they could have decided at that point, we're tired. We've worked all night, and they did. We've toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. But at your word, we'll let the nets down. See, we could do the same thing. We make our confessions. I've been there. I'm wealthy. And I hear, buy Apple stock. He's trying to get money to me. And I ignored it. See, and that's the same thing I'm saying to you. You make your confessions, and if God leads you in a particular direction to fulfill those words, you know it works in the negative also. We'll close with this thought. Death and life, Proverbs 18, 20, 21, 22, it says, death and life is within the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the what? The fruit thereof. So people, I did this before I was saved. There were some negative things that I said. And I had some results of those things. And I remember after I got saved, the Lord reminded me, He says, remember what you said there and there and there? And I went, ooh, I reaped it. Because sometimes we say stuff out of jest. You know how it is. People will say something just funning or just saying it because it's funny. And, you know, like they'll say, well, so-and-so doesn't know what they're doing. And they keep saying that and keep saying it and saying it, and they get to the place where now they believe it. That's when it has power. Because just saying it, remember what we said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. You make smart remarks or not nice remarks about your children. They're this, they're that. They'll never amount to anything. You may say that just in your frustration. And you say those kind of things, and you keep saying them, and you keep saying them, and you keep saying them, and some point, you begin to believe it. Why? Because they keep acting that way and they don't change. And you now start believing it and you doubt not, your words now have power to begin to make things come to pass in the negative. Can work in the same thing. You know, just never get to, you know, whenever I get money, it just seems to just, I just ain't got enough. Or it could be something else negative. Everybody's got something different. But you start somewhere, just like we do. We start in faith making confessions. And the more we say it, we're talking about the Word of God. Faith comes. But the more you make just statements that you make, faith will come in that area, and you not doubt, bang, starts to work against you the same way it'll work for you. Why? Because you believe And you keep saying. You keep saying. You keep saying. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. And the more you keep saying that which you believe, you'll have what you say. And I'll tell you, it's something that, you know, sometimes, you know, when we get together, and I'm not saying don't have fun, have a lot of laughs. We do. Well, I do. But for certain things that, you know, hit hot buttons, you have to watch it. You got to watch it. And you have to keep saying, you know, those things that you want from God to possess the promises of God. We have to believe and keep saying. Amen. Something to think upon. I'll tell you, the more you meditate upon it, the more you reflect on your words, the Holy Ghost will bring and reveal to you how you're using your words and how they're working for you or against you. And that's where you look in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that will bring you success. So it's the meditating, the believing, but it's the continual speaking of something that will bring success. And so we have to keep saying. And if you've you know, reached that point where you feel frustrated, you haven't seen something, you just keep saying it. You keep saying it. Keep saying it. Because you will possess the promises of God. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this word. Thank you for the life and the revelation and the glory that's in your word and the success that's in your word. If we read it, meditate on it, speak it, we thank you that those things will be a reality in our life. And we receive it as so. In Jesus' name, we covenant, Father, that as we receive additional revelation, we will make adjustments in our life so that we can live successfully in our life above the troubles in this earth. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.